Coming to you from the Windy City, welcome to Let's Talk Shop, a podcast about all things cloud and enterprise tech. Listen to insights and guest interviews with IT thought leaders and professionals. Now, here's your host, Elias Knaser.
Today's guest, I don't know how to describe today's guest. He's a dear friend, someone I've known for a very long time, someone I respect immensely. I'm going to accelerate the introduction and basically say Gary Eimerman is the general manager over skills at Pluralsight. And a quick disclaimer, I'm a Pluralsight author. I've done a lot of Pluralsight courses, but the conversation today is going to be from a different angle. So Gary, I am so happy and so excited to have you on the show. Welcome.
Well, Eli, thanks for having me. And honestly, the feeling's mutual. Like this is more fun than anything. Just you and I getting to sit down and chat today. So let's have some fun with it.
That's right. We're going to record it today. So you've been at Pluralsight since the acquisition of TrainSignal. I guess you like it.
Yeah, I get asked a lot, like, you've been doing this for a long time. When you combine TrainSignal and Pluralsight together, it's a little over 17 years in this space, which is almost about as long as this space has existed for online training. And honestly, it's a combination of what we get to do day in and day out. Like at the true fundamentals of what we're doing at Pluralsight is we're actually helping people learn things and make the world better from it. And it's like you combine that with making a living and really great people, and it's like, why would I want to go anywhere else? Like, I mean, you've been in the same industry now for a similar amount of time, and it's like, we're not going anywhere. This is where we want to be because this is what we enjoy doing the most.
That's right. So speaking of Pluralsight, you guys have done a lot of consolidation in the market. I mean, you're pretty much the only name in town for when it comes to IT trading. Good job.
Yeah, I mean, like, when you think about it, like, what was it, about 10 years ago, Mark Andreessen said, like, software is eating the world. Like, we already saw that happening. And as the technologies evolved, you had all of these, like, individual, like, domain areas, like IT administration, and you had software development. And 20 years ago, yeah, those things sort of, like, they sat in different areas. They were in different areas of the building if your office was big enough. But it was very clear that the way that technology was evolving is it was going to start bringing all these things together. And so where does security begin and software development end? Or where does operations begin? Like, all those things have just keep coming more interwoven. Emerging. So we knew that we needed to make sure that we had a solution that it didn't matter what you need. If you were a CTO, a CISO, a CIO, that there was that one-stop shop. We aren't looking to go broader than technology. Technology is a big enough problem space in its own right. And we wanted to be that specialist, that one that you could count on, not just for the training, but also for all the insights and understanding of what does the talent actually look like in your organization. So yeah, we sort of brought that whole group together now.
Very nice. Very nice. So speaking, since we're on the subject of Pluralsight, so what can customers, enterprises, orgs expect? Anything interesting coming out in 2022 that you can share here for first heard on the show? Anything interesting?
There's a lot of good things going on. And I think at the core of it, it's continuing to make sure that we have that coverage that you need. Everything. You can count on that as the baseline from Pluralsight. So continuing to grow our cloud content. You may have heard that we acquired a Cloud Guru, which is the leading cloud provider. And so now you have like this really broad offering with Pluralsight Skills, and then you have this deep offering with cloud. We want to make sure that we keep building that type of model out so that if you are coming in and saying, hey, you know what? I just need to focus on my cloud transformation. I don't want to have anyone distracted by anything else. Just that really focused, deep offering with all the hands-on and bells and whistles from beginner to complete expert, you've got that ability to go in and just get that license. Or, hey, you know what? I want to have a package for everyone. Great. You can come in and get that broad offering. So you're going to see that continuing to grow. And there's obvious areas that we want to go deeper in addition to cloud. But wrapping around all that is really making sure that we have the insights and analytics that you need to make sure that the actual programs that you're building for skills development are actually going to be effective in your and measurable in your teams. And so one of the things you're going to start to see more and more improvement is with the insights and analytics feature and the advanced analytics feature. You can go in on Pluralsight with Skill IQ, get that skill inventory, understand like, oh, hey, like I thought I had the people to go do this new initiative and this digital transformation. Actually, no, I don't. And here's the program that I need to implement for those folks to go do and then track that growth. And so you're going to see a lot of improvements there in the analytics. The other thing that I'm really excited for, which I think, Canley, this is something in the last couple of months I've heard from every one of our enterprise customers, is some level of digital fluency. So remember the old days of digital literacy, like, hey, how do I use a computer? How do I connect to the internet? This is advanced beyond this. This is like, how am I conversational in all of these trending things? Like when you hear about blockchain or you hear about ML, even the cloud, still a lot of individuals inside the organization don't really grasp, like, okay, I know this cloud thing and I know it's important, but like, what is it and how should I be thinking about it as a business analyst or as a sales representative? And how do I actually speak to the practitioners or to my customers? And so we've got this super exciting thing coming out here later on this year called Tech Foundations, which is a programmatic way to upskill the entire company. We've actually done this with some amazing partners like Accenture. We have an Accenture TQ branded version of that where we did over 600,000 Accenture employees and went through and you super short. Think of it as like, we're not trying to teach you how to go do it. We're not trying to teach you how to configure it, which is how most digital literacy programs are. It's like, oh, you know what? We'll take this stuff from this pile of the library and like, here, just go. This is the beginner stuff. No, like it's designed specifically for you to be able to understand what's going on. It's about 45 minutes long. How does it fit into your world? And you can even take a pretest and opt right out. So like, if I think I'm an expert on it, great. Don't even waste the time. Just go in, take 15 questions, boom, you're done. You move on, you get the credit for it. And you can do that across all the biggest technology spaces or technology trends right now.
So I love it. That's a great idea. I can't tell you how many times contextualizing these things, even at a beginner level, is important. So you mentioned sales, you mentioned business analytics, even some of the deep technical folks. Like sometimes you have, you know, data analytics folks that are already very technical, but they don't necessarily understand the fundamentals of cloud, the infrastructure, the strategies around it. So those would be really helpful to them. And the other very important thing is the fact that, hey, it's not just North America. Like we might be very advanced in cloud here, but other places in the world, they're just starting. So everything that we've matured in, they still need for them. So I think that's great. You mentioned something really interesting though. So the dashboards, the insights, those I'm assuming are for CIOs, for managers in particular, to be able to do skills gap assessment per se, correct?
Yep. So it's we call it our leader. So it could be your direct leader, like a manager or a director of engineering. It could be all the way up to your CIO trying to look at like an entire organization in it. And so in these dashboards, you now have the ability. The other thing that we've evolved this year is our team management, which now instead of just having a straight hierarchy, which is candidly how all organizations were built not too long ago, now we know that everyone's got that matrix at some level, whether it be through your scrum teams or through dotted line engineering and product team members being on a single team and like not just having a functional leadership, but having a tactical leader as well. We've created this like ability for people to be on multiple teams. And so you can go in from that report and see, hey, you know what? All my engineers, how are they doing on these skill sets? But you might also, like we just talked about with all the analysts, you could be looking at like R or Python or something like that and be looking at a cross-functional team in those same reports. So what it does is it can tell you where your hotspots are, where are your skills, what are the current proficiencies from beginner to a couple different levels of proficient all the way to expert. And then it helps you really see, okay, you know what? This team here is ready for that initiative or no, it's not. And if it's not, then you can just literally like right click, add the channel or start a priority in the system and basically assign the training and that skill IQ to the teams or the individuals right from the dashboards.
Very cool.
The other thing,
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
That's all good. The other thing that I want to highlight with that is, like, to me, what I love about these dashboards is actually it's when you find that hidden gem, where you find that person who's that expert in that new technology that's sitting on a team that you had no idea in the organization, but because they jumped in and highlighted, because it's not just about the reporting for the leader. Skill IQ is like incredibly powerful for me as an individual to
A. I was going to ask you that. You're getting you. How about you just run this whole podcast on your own?
We'll have to see. I don't know if I can take on the responsibility. You carry a big load here. You are the show.
So I was going to ask you, so as an individual, does it have anything to help me do a personal skills gap assessment?
Yeah. So that's the thing about Skill IQ is it fundamentally was started from the learner perspective. So we didn't want to create like a big brother type dynamic. We wanted to create something that was actually focused on the actual individual. And so when you go in, the unique thing about Skill IQ is like most assessment technologies out there, they require you to go take like a entire certification. And there's a time and place for certifications. Like we have certification training, we have certification prep on Pluralsight. But when I'm just trying to get an idea of like, do I know this technology or not? I don't want to have to take 2 hours of assessment and 200 questions or 90 questions or whatever it might be. With Skill IQ, you're looking at like 15, maybe 20 questions in anywhere between 10 to 15 minutes, depending on how well you know it. And it's going to give you that assessment really quick, but it's also then going to show you those gaps of like, hey, because you know this, you also know these other things, but mm-hmm. because you don't know this, there's the other things that you actually need to learn in addition to that one thing that you got incorrect on it. And so it helps create recommendations for you then to go do that. So not only can you accelerate and not be like, oh, I've got to watch 40 hours of training. I only need, hey, here's an hour. It also allows you to highlight to your leaders, to the rest of the company, your actual skill sets. I mean, we've got a lot of stories about people who have not been technical professionals taking Skill IQ, highlighting that, and going into a technical role and being able to be successful. They wouldn't have been able to make that career jump without that tool.
So is that tool part of the subscription? Is that free part of the subscription? Or is that something that organizations or individuals have to kind of subscribe to on top of the regular Pluralsight subscription?
So Skill IQ as a feature and functionality is free for anyone who has an account. You have to set up an account, but that's you can just go ahead and get that set up. The analytics and insights that you get from the for the leaders, that is part of the paid subscription. And then the content from a recommendation for the learner, it's going to depend. Some stuff we have for free, some stuff is going to be part of a subscription.
Okay. And so one more thing just sparked my interest when as you were talking. So as a leader, do I have like, is it customizable or do I have to choose one of a template? Hey, I've got a cloud project and as a result, I can track that. Or can I come in and say, I don't know, I'm looking for a Web 3.0 project and here are the skills I need and kind of create a custom path that I can track?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things with the Skill IQs themselves. Those are pre-built. And the reason that those are pre-built is so that you get that acceleration of comparison against the global. It's a norm relative assessment. And so that's how you can get the leverage of basically knowing, does this person have the proficiency in Angular or in AWS security, whatever it might be. And so that part is pre-configured, but what you can configure and customize is like, what is the tech stack that I need for these roles or for this priority that we have as a company? Great. I don't want to start from scratch, but okay. So I can take a template from Pluralsight, but then I want to customize it to be specific to what we're doing. We're on AWS and GCP, but no Azure. Okay, great. Have those added in and do that customization right there, both in the channels and in priorities.
Very cool. Now, not that there's anyone left for you to acquire out there, but is Skills IQ unique to Pluralsight? Is this something that your competitors don't have? Is this how a way that Pluralsight stands out above and beyond the great content?
Yeah. So Skill IQ is something that we created here at Pluralsight. It is something that I've seen a number of competitors try to duplicate over the years, and it's one of those where I think about it sort of like the iceberg. where it's like they see what's happening up above the water, but they actually don't see what's happening under the water. And so much of it is actually under the water. And so it is still absolutely unique to Pluralsight. While I appreciate and am honored by the mimicking of some of our competition out there, still confident in what Pluralsight has to offer with SkillIQ being unique and leading in that space.
Nice. All right, so let's pivot a little bit. So you've heard of the Great Resignation. A lot of people are leaving their jobs guilty. But so how should organizations, from your perspective, and I don't know if Pluralsight's dealt with its fair share of this as well, but what can Pluralsight do? What kind of advice can you give orgs, tech leaders, IT leaders? How do they get ahead in front of this trend to retain talent as opposed to try to react to what's going on? What's your advice there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I have not met a single company that hasn't been brought up in the Great Resignation in the last 2 years. So Pluralsight is no different. I think it's all about how you mitigate and how you approach it. It is absolutely the craziest labor market I've ever seen. So I don't know if it's comparison. Obviously, there's some folks who've been around a little longer, but I can't think of anything that's accelerated at the pace that this did over the last couple of years. And there's two ways you can look at this. You can look at this as the Great Resignation. You can also look at it as the Great Reshuffling. Because at the end of the day, these talented people aren't just disappearing. They're not like just stopping working. They're finding new opportunities. And what they're finding with those new opportunities is they're looking for places that they have growth opportunity with. And so like foundationally, like that, like career development is one of the top three reasons that someone leaves a role. Like I think we did a recent survey. I want to say it was like 95% of people said that that was one of the top three reasons. And so if you're not providing growth opportunities as a company, your people are leaving. That's real simple. And so like you look at like Pluralsight, we've, I want to say it's over 40%. I think it might be 48% of people in the last 18 months stepped into new roles at Pluralsight. So not only are we a growth focused company, we're like ourselves, we're trying to implement that. You need to be thinking about how are you developing talent. And I think that this has been a shift over the last few years as well, where a few years back you had that dynamic where I don't want to be told what to go learn. Just give me access to it and I'll figure it out. And that's great when there's not a lot of options out there. The world has caught up and there's a ton of options of learning now. And so now it's the sort of the yin and yang of that, which is there's too much. I need to know where to start. And so if you aren't taking a programmatic approach to educating and developing your talent, they're going to be overwhelmed. And so that's really why like things like priorities and tech foundations and those features and functionality on Pluralsight have come into existence is because that's what the learners actually want and need. And we want to make it easier for that. So you need to be thinking about where am I going as a company? What am I looking at 3-4 years out? Sharing that with the team members. Don't keep it a secret locked up in a document or in the executive room or anything like that. It's like, hey, these are the skills that we need to go win 3 years from now. We're not there. Great. Here's how I'm going to help you get there. Who wants it? Like, you're going to have people reach it, like raising their hands, being like, let's go. Like,
I love it.
Oh man, there's a story. Ricardo Joya is a individual that reached out to us and got connected with Pluralsight because of his passion. Like he had been had a passion for technology, but wasn't in the industry and didn't have the resources, didn't have anyone who was like giving him that opportunity. So he utilized Pluralsight and just like was obsessed. It was like, I'm doing this. He became a developer and now has like completely skyrocketed his he's a .NET developer and his whole career is just taken off.
Nice.
Like, there's a lot of Ricardos out there that just want it. And most of them are actually employed, but they just don't know where to go. Give them that opportunity. Give them the North Star. Give them a tool. Guide them and they'll go.
You're so right. I mean, this is advice I've given to customers many times over the years is, to your point, you know, in the past, you know, and again, I was one of those folks. They would come to us and say, hey, there's budget for training. What do you want to take? Right? Basically, pick whatever you want. And back then it was a lot. Now it's more than a lot. But the advice I give customers is don't do that anymore. And flip the script. So basically publish a skills list. These are the skills that are important to us as an organization for the next 5 years. So if you want to be here, if you want to contribute, then go take this training because that's what's important to us. And I think that will give them direction. It'll give them structure. And it's mutually beneficial to know, hey, I know exactly what my company needs. I'm going to go take something on cloud governance or something like that.
Yep.
So I love hearing that from you. So speaking of these skills, are you noticing that customers, organizations are still more attached to vendor type certifications, or are you also pivoting? So I think the foundations was a good example, but are you also pivoting to other types of skills, or is the bulk still vendor style certifications?
Yeah, I see it happening in dependent on the actual technical domain. And I think that this is a common thing. Like if you've been in technology long enough, you sort of see these like 10-year cycles or so that sort of take about 30 years to get from one wave down and back to the next. And so you see these situations where like right now, and we have been going through this for the last 10 years, is this acceleration of cloud technologies. And at first it was just a replacement of on-prem and great. Okay. But now, like when you're thinking about cloud native development, cloud native infrastructure, you're actually having to solve a different problem than you had before. And so it requires a different set of knowledge. And there's no one who's been sitting here working on, like I laugh all the time when I see the job report or job descriptions for openings being like, hey, we need a senior architect with 20 years of GCP experience.
Good luck.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. That would be great. I think Google would like some of those too.
Like, hey, I want them too.
And so when you have that like senior level that just can't have existed, that's when vendor certifications really come into value in the industry. You saw this back in 2000, 2003 with Active Directory and how that evolved. Same thing happening right now. And so I think that in the cloud space, vendor certifications, absolutely incredibly powerful. And candidly, vendors have gotten incredibly improved in how they're actually formulating it around jobs and outcomes. It's not like the old exam where it's like, ooh, what new features did we put into 2003? Right. Okay, Leah, let's throw a couple questions on that there. No, they're shaped around the actual jobs that people are hiring for. So I think that that's a place where those still show a lot of value. That said, you look into like the software developer space, certification's never been as popular for a software developer. They have a portfolio of work. I can go into the code base and show you exactly the skills I have without like needing a massive environment to show you. And so I still believe that there's a lot of that non-vendor stuff that is incredibly important, especially on the emerging technology space. Anything to do with like Web 3.0, blockchain, all of that.
Quantum, IoT, those types of
things. Exactly. Like, I know that there's certifications out there. None of them are like, oh yes, that's the one that everyone's going right for. And so then you really need to make sure that you're building a curriculum. And that's the power of our curriculum team. Like we've got both the in-house talent and experts, and then we have just that author connection. I mean, yourself, the experts throughout the industry that we can lean on day in and day out to understand what's happening and help shape that curriculum.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Web 3.0, I don't know if you saw the Microsoft Ignite keynote back in November, but Satya did a fantastic job highlighting use cases for the metaverse. And I did a couple of videos. I'm going to do a few more videos on the metaverse. I'm curious, is Pluralsight thinking a little ahead in terms of how to use the metaverse to create a more of an immersive experience? So as opposed to sitting in front of a computer screen to be part of it, like, are you guys thinking along those lines, or is it still too early?
Yeah, well, so thinking, yes, and I'll sort of share with where we're at. I want to root it in the core. What is the core of what we would do? Because I don't want to just do something because it's the new shiny object, the fun new toy, which as a technologist, I'll go do that at home and in my free time all the time and play around and hack stuff together. But from a educational and a skills development mindset, we look at it as like, how am I going to help you, Eli, get from where you're at to where you want to be? And what is that gap? And how do I get you there fastest? That's foundationally, like, our decisions are rooted around that. And so the moment that, like, immersing you in a metaverse experience improves how quickly I can get you from your current state to the ideal state, absolutely, we're going to build that out. Right now, it's more about creating the training around what is it, how to think about it. Back to the tech foundations, we have an executive briefing course on the metaverse. It's a fantastic course if you want to check it out. It's Simon Allardyce, who's an amazing author as well. And it gives you a lens of how to think about that. But what I don't want to do is I don't want to just port what exists today into a metaverse experience. I want to make sure that it's truly additive. I could see places like, you think about VILT and the fact that, like, right now you're sitting in front of a Zoom box or something like that. There's probably opportunities in the future to make that a more immersive, but we're also looking at immersion in other ways. It's not just about the metaverse. It's like, how do I get you immersed into practicing the technology with the hands-on capabilities that we have? So fingers on keys instead of just watching videos, and rapidly learning and testing and practicing that learn, practice, do loop. Shortening that up as quickly as possible. So that's sort of the balance that we're shaping here, but we're absolutely going to make sure that we're staying on top of it and thinking about it, and also training all the technologists of how they can apply it to their own worlds.
Very nice. Very nice. Good answer. Cool. Now that's totally cool. I mean, it's early on. It's early. I just was curious if you guys were giving it some thought. So awesome. So now I want to take you a little bit outside of the skills conversation. And I want to get your personal opinion on this debate that's going on Web 3.0 and what your take is. Do you think we're going to completely migrate to a blockchain-based internet? Is it going to be a hybrid with Web 2.0? Is Web 3.0 completely BS? What's your take?
I think that anyone that states an absolute answer to that is throwing a whole lot of BS your way, because as we've known, there are very few people who can predict the technology trends that are going to succeed and not. I mean, all the way back to Betamax and VHS, there was a lot
That's right.
The other way. But I do think that, like, the philosophy of Web 3.0 and the distributed nature of it, it's not something new. This is a new implementation of it. And that principle is core to what a lot of this connected web environment that we're in was founded on. Too was that idea that, like, we didn't want the centralization of big power. I mean, you think about the open software movement and everything like that. So this to me is evolutionary in that it is revolutionary in the way that it's being calculated. I think that there are some incredible upsides. There's some powerful things that you can do when it comes to data ownership and things like that. And what I'm seeing mostly right now are a combination of speculative use cases, the different financial tokens and things like that. You're seeing a handful of spammers or people who are trying to take advantage of a trend, which unfortunately we see every single time when there's something that's not mature. And I think it's important that we get that out of the system, because that would completely ruin it. Right. And then I think that there's probably a handful of unique ideas that are really starting to pop up of how to deploy this in a truly new fashion. Because I think the first, just like we talked about with cloud, initially it was just, hey, I'm porting my on-prem servers and I'm removing the CapEx and turning it into OpEx spend. Okay, great. Like that's that first stage of that maturity model. And I think that the things that we don't know right now is what's actually going to be that evolution. What is the distributed nature of blockchain going to really do that changes our world? I'm really interested in how supply chain can and is utilizing blockchain, because we're all experiencing the shortages of supply chain challenges and things like that. Some of it is just inefficiency in the system. And I do think that blockchain really can create some more efficiencies there. The other thing that I'm interested in and don't really have a stance one way or the other is just the energy impact that these current technologies require to do the calculations. And I know that as computing gets better and quantum computing spins up, that can actually diminish it a little bit. But it's like, if something is improving in one place, but actually sort of taking a downside to the environment, there's not going to be an environment left to run it. And so I think that there's some balancing that's got to happen there, or maybe some evolution to the technology.
Yeah. So very important question now. Please be very attentive to this. How many NFTs has Gary purchased?
Zero.
What do you think of NFTs? Let's just put it that way.
I think that there are some really cool use cases for it. I think that as a artist, the ability to be a digital artist and have unique pieces of art in a otherwise very duplicative world. I mean, it's not real hard to take a screenshot of you and I right now and turn it into a million different memes. There's very low cost of that. So I love what it can do there. My friends always give me a hard time for as advanced in like technologists as I've been. I mean, I've been working in this space now since I was 4 years old. Like, I am actually very conservative when it comes to the deployment of capital into some of these new technologies. So that's more so the reason why it's a matter of not taking the time right now. But I think that I love what I see the major sports leagues doing with it. I love the digital art component of it. I love the fact that like you can have value created. And I actually just saw, Ukraine just did a batch of NFTs as a fundraising situation with the war in Russia. And I think that's like, the creative use cases are just going to keep coming up with the use of NFTs.
Well, there are some use cases. I mean, jokes aside, there are some use cases where NFTs could actually have worked. Like, for example, with the COVID passports, which the way we implemented that was kind of ridiculous. But like an NFT, an authenticated NFT would have been really helpful, especially when we're mandating to, you know, restaurants like my dad's where, hey, you have to check the COVID card. Well, okay, someone can print it. What's the point? But if it were authenticated of some, you know, in some way, shape, or form, that would have been useful. So I think identity and NFTs, there's a good play there that we'll see in the future.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure India's been doing some interesting things with digital identity and other countries in that general vicinity of the world right now. And it's one of those things where it's like you think about like skipping a generation of infrastructure, like. Mm-hmm. With I think it was Africa that instead of running all the old copper wires, they went straight to wireless. And it's like, yeah, I think there's going to be opportunities. And so you might see the innovation not come from the traditional innovation hubs because the infrastructure is already there. So I definitely agree with you. I think identity is going to be a big place for the digital authentication to grow.
And I can talk with you for hours as usual, but this thing has to end. Now, the next time we do this, and hopefully soon, I'll be in my new space. I've created a corner specifically for podcasting, so we'll have you in the studio. Maybe we'll do something. So is Pluralsight Live going to happen in person this year? So
there will be a event this fall. We did tweak it a little bit last year, so... it's not going to be the large user event that we've had in the past. Back to the whole changes of like, hey, it's no longer it's not about being a COVID world. It's about what is the post-COVID world. And so really blending all those things and really thinking about the experience holistically. So it'll be a little different here.
Awesome. Gary, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really enjoyed it. We're going to have to do this again soon. Like I said, maybe towards the end of the year, or, you know, maybe if you've got something else to announce, you break it here first, you know.
I can talk with the team about that. Eli, appreciate the time. Love catching up with you, and thanks for having me today.
You bet. I'll talk to you soon.